Welcome to the Catholic Link Podcast, the podcast for busy Catholics. My name is Father Rob Adams. Once again, I am very happy to be joined by Father George Elliott. Father George, it is wonderful to have you with us today.
Great to be on. Thanks, Father.
So after some terrible hiccups and me being late and everything, I am super happy that we get to do our doctrine episode on the role of the Holy Spirit. Now, why are we talking about the Holy Spirit? Because right now, as we're recording it, it's early May, and we are looking at Pentecost coming up in a little bit more than 2 weeks. Can you believe that, Father George? I still am struggling with Easter.
Exactly. I was thinking about that just the other day. I was like, man, it's Ascension. This coming weekend or yesterday.
Yeah. Wild. Well, so the reason I want to talk about the Holy Spirit is not from purely like pure motives, because I just had COVID last week. And while I was sick, I spent way too much time on religious TikTok, and I repent of that in ashes and sackcloth. But I want to say one of the things I noticed a lot on religious TikTok was there's a lot of misunderstanding about the Holy Spirit and the role of the Holy Spirit, even among some really, really good people. So, Father George, what, you know, if you just had to tell somebody in RCIA right off the bat, you know, what's the Holy Spirit? Who's the Holy Spirit? What's the big deal? What would you say?
Oh, gosh, put me on the spot.
I know.
Right. Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity.
Check.
And its role is to, it is attributed to sanctifying the church, guiding the church in the truth, and giving life to the church. Mm-hmm. That's probably what I would say.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. The big thing I think a lot of people forget is that, you know, the Holy Spirit is the love between the Father and the Son. Mm-hmm. And this even gets past all of the Orthodox Catholic fights about, you know, who proceeds from who. And the end of the day, the important thing is that the Holy Spirit is the love between the Father and the Son that is so strong that is itself a person. Right? Now, why do we care about the Spirit? Is it just because we need to round things out with three? No, right? The reason the Holy Spirit is super important in the Christian life is the Holy Spirit is the way that we are connected to Jesus, right? Jesus says that you live in me and I live in you. Last week at the fifth Sunday of Easter, we heard, I am the vine, you are the branches, right? So how are we connected to Jesus? What isn't just through being like morally affiliated, like, yay, I'm on team Jesus. I believe in love and not the law. Yeah. Like, well, no, it's not just even by kind of membership, right? Like, well, you know, I belong to the Catholic Church. So good. Like, well, yeah, but our connection to Jesus is actually a very organic one, that we're tied to him, that Christ actually lives in me and I actually live in Christ. That's what sanctification is. How does it happen, right? It's through the Holy Spirit. It's through the gift of the love between the Father and the Son that Jesus lives in me and I live in Jesus. Now, okay, that's cool theology, right? What a great boring seminary sermon. But what I find is sort of controversial is that a lot of people think that the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Holy Spirit has to be accompanied by all kinds of stuff. I'm trying to find a nice word to say. A lot of stuff. Thinking, speaking in tongues.
Yeah. Charismatic gifts, right? All of those.
Charismatic things. Gifts. There we go. That without the presence of the charismatic gifts, the Holy Spirit isn't there. And I just really struggle with that. I really struggle with that. Father, what would you say to someone who said, well, you know, you don't seem to show the Spirit, and where there's no smoke, there's no fire. So what's up?
Yeah. I mean, if the Holy Spirit is the love between the Father and the Son, then where charity is, you know, understood theologically, theological love, there is the Holy Spirit, right? That's the fire, or that's the smoke that comes from the fire. Everything else is kind of like, meh. I mean, if he wants to, he can do that.
Exactly.
Charismatic gifts and all the things, you know. But just real quick to clarify, what are some of these charismatic gifts that you think people sometimes say are almost necessary for, to show that the Holy Spirit is present.
Sure. Yeah. The biggest one I see on a lot of online things is the gift of tongues, right?
Mm.
Now, I have a little bit of a side note about the tongues, and I know I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm not denying the presence of the Spirit and the gifts and all that. I have a little bit of a bugaboo with some of the way tongues is practiced, particularly in Pentecostal traditions, but also in a lot of Catholic charismatic circles. It's tongues as glossalia, or sort of like the that's the Greek word, but they use it like shamalabalabala, shamalabalabalabala. My problem with this is that the Acts of the Apostles seems to say that the gift of tongues is not some mysterious language that must be translated. The Acts of the Apostles says that they spoke and each understood him in his own tongue.
Mm.
So the gift of tongues, properly speaking, from the Acts of the Apostles, would be more speaking languages you don't know.
Yeah. There is that little bit in, I think it's the writings of Paul, where he does talk about speaking, you know, if I speak in angelic tongues, but obviously, like, the whole point of that discourse is, but I have not charity, then I am nothing, right?
Right.
And then there's one bit where he's talking about, okay, if, you know, if someone is to speak in tongues, let there be someone there who can interpret. But if not, then you just need to sit down and be quiet. So it seems like there's something to, no, this is meant to be understood. And if it cannot be understood, then we at least don't have any evidence of it happening in the Bible.
Sure. And I'm not saying it to be bad. I just think it's a little bit, the scale is tipped a little bit in one direction.
Yeah.
Another one that you see a lot of for people saying that there has to be this for it to be the presence of the Spirit would be things like healing.
Mm.
I see a lot of people, they're getting up and they're commanding things. You know, I command this kidney stone to be dissolved, and I command your nerves to function the way they're supposed to. I don't know. That just, to me, the more important thing is what Paul says, the fruit of the Spirit, right? The presence of the Spirit is known by the fruits of the Spirit: peace, joy, love, kindness, chastity, patience, all those kind of things are more indicative of the love of God than maybe some flashy stuff.
Yeah. I think there's also one that's definitely not a charismatic gift, but I'll hear people talk about also, they're like, oh man, I could just feel the Holy Spirit, which, once again, much like you said, like, it's not that it's kind of denying that the Holy Spirit can make itself felt, or that they necessarily were not. But I also really just kind of think we need to be very hesitant in saying that, oh yes, that thing that I felt was definitely the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, the devil can present himself as an angel of light, as it says in the scriptures, and he can make us feel whatever he wants. And sometimes he'll even make us feel good when we're doing good things, but because he's got a long game planned out where, you know, he's therefore going to trap us into something of that sort. And so, you know, just really being humble and hesitant to make strong claims about any of these things, I think is just a wise path.
Well, and I think about it sort of as a pastor, where somebody might think they don't have the Holy Spirit in them because they don't experience miracles, you know, because they don't experience feelings. And and I really get scared about that, because without the feelings, you know, charity can still be there. I think about an old married couple in their 80s. You know, maybe they're not physically attracted to each other the same way they were. Does it mean love isn't there? No. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I love that image.
And I just think for a lot of people, once that emotional experience changes, I'm not saying dries up, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to condemn it. I'm saying when it changes, because emotions by nature change, you're going to be in a bad spot. So what I really want people to know is that spiritually, just because you may not have ever experienced some tremendous moment of God, right? You may never have felt grace. You may never, none of that. And yet at the end, I just think it's really important to know that if you're living the life the church has asked you, the life the scriptures describe, if you're practicing the faith, then the Spirit is there. The Spirit is there. And God lives in you. And I think the most important thing to know is that because of that, Jesus lives in you and you live in Jesus, which is way, way cooler, like Paul says, than even being able to speak in the tongues of angels.
Absolutely.
Well, this is probably getting towards the end of our time, but I hope everybody has a blessed Pentecost. I hope that the presence of the Spirit is something that is a part of your life, and I hope that you will keep us in your prayers. But until then, this has been the Catholic Link Podcast, the podcast for busy Catholics. Thanks, Father George. I always appreciate having you on.
Thank you, Father.
And I will see everybody next time. Take care and God bless.